We're talking about how to teach emotional intelligence, EQ, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Researchers say we've long underestimated and ignored EQ in kids, and schools put more emphasis on academic success and testing and measuring mental ability, the IQ. Research out of Yale University Center for Emotional Intelligence says our emotions are important clues to how we go through the world, helping us make decisions and build relationships. Are you an educator? How do you help students process their emotions? And teachers, how do you incorporate emotional intelligence in your classroom? We're at 800-642-1234. Steve Peck co-founded an educational technology firm. It's called The Connections Model. It focuses on building students' social and emotional development. And his background is as a special education teacher. Steve, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Lori Jackson is here as well. She co-founded The Connections Model, and she's a former school psychologist. Lori, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with you, Lori. Can you share your connection to teaching emotion in the classroom? Why did you want to focus on this issue?
Well, I think we were, when we started this process, because we saw that kids really needed it. And we had kids who were really struggling and who really needed support. And the support, just teaching them about their behavior, wasn't doing it. So we felt like the next step was to really look at the foundation and the foundational issues that they didn't have, or we noticed they didn't have, and that really was an ability to understand, identify, and manage their emotions. And so it really started right from that point and helping kids connect to that so that they could find the connection to their own behavior and then manage it themselves.
And Steve, with your background in special education, what did you see in emotions in your students?
Yeah, I mean, really the change, you know, over the last few years has been recognizing that students, the behaviors aren't just behaviors, the behaviors have a root. And where are they coming from? Well, they're starting with their emotions. So how do you get students to understand their behaviors? You teach them about their emotions. And you don't make any assumptions that kids are coming in understanding their emotions, because generally they're not.
And when you say generally they're not, you know, how do they begin that journey of understanding their emotions and getting a sense of who they are?
Well, we really start from the root process. You know, we like to think of it as, you know, if you're teaching math, you don't start with multiplication or division. You start with number recognition. So with emotions, you start with having them really just name the emotion, identify the emotions, because kids actually do struggle with really particular and specifics of each emotion. And that further leads to, you know, how will they regulate these emotions? Because we as adults do it daily, thousands of times a day, and we probably don't even recognize it, but we handle these emotions several different ways, and no emotion is handled the same.
And so, Lori, we handle emotions in several different ways. What are some of the ways that we do deal with our emotions that students, children, elementary school students may just be emerging on and don't have a handle on how to do this?
So I think that the first part, like Steve was saying, is we first need to help them identify them. And then as adults, we either use a cognitive strategy, so we say something to ourselves to help us calm down. Like typically it's, I'm anxious. Oh, it's going to be okay. I'll do fine. Or we do some sort of active strategy, which is get up and take a walk, or maybe we get a drink, or we get a cup of coffee or something if we're feeling anxious. Kids need to be taught to connect those pieces of strategies to their specific emotions. But first, and what we've recognized is that they don't know them initially. So that's the first piece. And then what we try to do is to help them really identify the specific strategies that are helpful to help manage each of those emotions. And as Steve mentioned, we deal with them differently. So I wouldn't deal with being excited in a positive, excited way, the same way I might deal with being overwhelmed. And so those real specific pieces are the things that we help kids with, really very directly and explicitly. Like Steve said, we look at teaching emotions the same way we look at teaching math or reading.
We're talking about kids developing emotional skills in the classroom. Lori Jackson's background is in educational psychology. And Steve Peck is here. He's a former special education teacher. Parents, do you think schools should be teaching your kids about emotions? What do you like to see? What would you like to see done? How should schools approach this? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Steve, eventually you and Lori created the connections model for students and teachers. What is the connections model?
We're an ed tech company, and we started about 5 or 6 years ago, and really actually started with an idea that we came up with for using with students, and we had a little bit of a prototype, and then we took the business outside of the school system and developed an app called Kid Connect, and have taken the app now to a SEL curriculum.
What does SEL mean?
Social-emotional learning.
Uh-huh.
And we've actually put together a nice curriculum that just hit the market last week. And, you know, it's really designed with the educator in mind for how they can implement the lessons within their classroom very easily for students to be able to use.
And so when you say this is an app, what does the app do?
Well, the app is designed to mirror the curriculum and take the curriculum a little bit further. The app is designed to allow the student to remain in the classroom without having to be pulled out for, you know, 2 or 3 hours to process their emotions and discuss what happened and things like that. The app is a simple series of 9 quick questions that the student can do independently and use right there in the classroom without having to miss a lot of time and, you know, presentation of lessons and things like that from the teacher.
So, Lori, what are some of these questions that you want the students to explore?
So basically, the big pieces for a student to learn what the emotion and behavior connection is to understand, where was I? So what was the event that took place that elicited the emotion? Typically for students, that's not always noticeable. Sometimes it is. And then what emotion was I feeling? What emotion was elicited from that event? And so very specifically, how do I, you know, what? Where was I? What was I doing? So what was the behavior that I displayed? Often for kids, and what we've found, and in talking to teachers, they've found this too, kids can't always connect the behavior that they just displayed. So the app really helps either with video or with still photo or even stock photos, the behavior that they showed. So they really can connect to the behavior. And then the most important step is, what could I do differently? So what other behavior, what strategy can I take away that will help me manage this emotion more appropriately? It's not about changing emotion. It's not really ultimately about good or bad emotion. It's really about identifying emotion, understanding that there are better ways or more adaptable ways, which really is the key to emotional regulation.
We're talking about emotional skills, how to teach them at a young age. Lori Jackson, Steve Peck, they run an educational technology firm focusing on kids' emotional regulation. Teachers, do you promote emotional learning in your classroom? How do you do it? Is it working? How do students respond? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about emotion skill building in the classroom. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, thanks for being here. Emotions, they permeate every aspect of our life. And studies have pointed out that people who have high emotional intelligence tend to make better decisions in life. Social scientists who are researching EQ say kids with high EQ can better control inappropriate behavior and delay gratification. Parents, should schools be teaching kids about emotions? What do you want to see? How should schools approach emotional intelligence? Do you model EQ for your kids? Join in at 800-642-1234. Steve Peck and Lori Jackson, they founded an education firm that focuses on K through 6th grade emotional development, and they stay with us. Let's go back to the phones here. Stacy joining us in Madison. Hi, Stacy.
Hello.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share, not really a question, more of a comment, but, you know, thank you for taking this on because as I work in the professional setting here in organizational development, we actually spend a fair amount of our resources teaching adults how to manage their emotional intelligence. And so the sooner people can understand this and get better at managing their emotions, you know, the better off we are in the professional setting. So just wanted to thank you for taking this on, and I think it's really important.
Stacy, what are some of the things that you do in the professional setting that relates to emotional intelligence?
Well, I mean, just basic leadership skills, you know, being a leader, you need to manage, you know, your triggers. In peer-to-peer conversations, people need to manage their emotions. So it actually is pervasive into day-to-day interactions. And so we've just recognized that this is, you know, a real focus area for our staff and leaders.
Well, Stacy, thanks so much for the call. Lori Jackson, it sounds like, you know, some of this is also happening in businesses and corporations.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great call because I think that Stacy really highlighted the challenges when you don't learn early to manage your emotions and really to understand them. It becomes so much more challenging when you're older. Because what we know is that these patterns sort of get ingrained. So the negative patterns that people find to manage their emotions, which aren't always so productive and aren't great at times either in the classroom or out in the business world, they get ingrained more the more you use them. So the earlier you're able to work on the management of emotions, the better it really is.
Steve, here at UW-Madison, it recently created the kindness curriculum that allows students to learn about mindfulness. How does a teacher know which lessons or curriculum about emotions are best for students?
Well, I think it's you know, the ability of the teacher to know that their students and look through different curriculums to see what they think really works. We like to think that our curriculum you know, really walks kids through early on emotions of identifying what emotions are you know, then taking it to how are emotions connected to behaviors, you know, and then what strategies can we work in to manage those behaviors. And, you know, then the mindfulness piece at the end of when you're using those strategies, how are you really clearing your mind to get yourself back to being ready to learn?
Yeah, I was going to say, how does mindfulness connect here to emotional intelligence?
Well, if you think about, you know, a student is trying to manage the emotion that they're experiencing, so how much learning is really happening when that emotion has taken over? So the mindfulness piece that sets in when the student is using a strategy is crucial, because that mindfulness piece of taking yourself to a place where, you know, it's something positive, and then being able to return to the classroom, you know, hopefully within a few minutes of using that strategy is extremely important.
Time is, you know, you are really trying to cut down the time that the student is away from the classroom as they work through what it is they're working through with their emotions. Is that right, Lori?
That's exactly right. I think that was our experience. That's what led us to this whole work that we've been in the last 10 years, because there were so many students who were having such difficulty just, you know, managing the rigors of the day. And they were missing 50% of their classes, 75% of their classes, because the amount of time that it would take to get them to process whatever was happening, and then, of course, the staff time to manage that as well. And schools are often working with maybe one counselor, maybe a psychologist, not a whole lot of staff to manage it. So really our goal is always, how do we keep kids in the classroom available for learning, and how do we really support teachers to do the same? Because, you know, their jobs are incredibly challenging, and when they're managing student behavior as opposed to teaching, it can be even more difficult.
We're talking about cultivating emotional intelligence this hour on The Morning Show. Lori Jackson, Steve Peck, they're here. They founded an education technology firm developing tools to help students understand and manage their emotions. Are you a school counselor or a teacher or a parent? How do you think schools should be helping students understand their emotions? How much should parents be involved in modeling this? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Troy now in Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I am an educator in Milwaukee, and we have fully embraced mindfulness and exactly what you guys are talking about. What we have done is we've got every teacher has a calm down corner in the room, and it's designed, you know, with a little curtain, a little beanbag, maybe some fidget spinners in there, and kids as young as age K4 to K5 are able to go up without permission whenever they feel like it. They get like 5 minutes. They got a little timer in there, and they go in there and they get regulated. And it works awesome. It cuts down on kids storming out of the classroom. It cuts down on, because a lot of kids are going through a lot of trauma outside of school. You used to have them, you know, write notes. They used to have to do a lot of different things, you know, pass me notes, what's going on at home, why are you behaving this way. Now it's like kids are able to regulate themselves. And start reflecting and pausing and doing those things. And it works wonders.
Oh, Troy, thank you so much for that perspective. The calm down room. Lori, are sensory rooms a good way to help kids work through their emotions?
I think so. I think that example was excellent. I think a lot of schools are looking to embrace that. We think it's a great strategy. The one thing that we add on to it is just to connect the emotion piece with the calm down regulation piece, because then kids are really understanding what's driving them to need to go to the calm down space. And so I think when you pair those two, it's an excellent strategy, and it's great that, that's a great story to hear. That's a great call.
Yeah, and so really carving out a place in the classroom where a student can go and just to regroup, is that, and as you look at layouts of classrooms, is that becoming more common?
I think it is at times. I think that we still struggle with, and I think times teachers struggle with, there's so many pieces and areas, but I think that it is becoming more common, and I do think that people are realizing that, you know what, we have the same thing. You know, we have lounges in offices, right? There's other places where you can go outside of your office when you need to regroup. You know, adults are able to go outside and take a walk around during the day and take breaks for themselves. So it only makes sense that we do the same thing, and we mirror that for kids.
Let's bring in Joe now in Appleton with thoughts on this. Hi, Joe.
Hello, I'm a business consultant, and we've had this problem for years in business, emotional intelligence. And I'm glad that you two are taking this down to the children's level, because they need to know it. But there is a way, simple way, not to intimidate them. Take the model DISC, dominance, inducement, steadiness, and control, convert it to the way kids can understand it. And if they can understand those four emotions, how kids are dominant, how they influence people, how they're steady, or how they control other people, it's one way of using their emotions to be successful in their classroom, or, as we used to do, it's successful in the corporate atmosphere. So DISC is a viable method to bring practicality to the classroom to show kids, well, how do I understand emotion?
Joe, thanks. Steve, DISC, D-I-S-C, and looking at dominance, influence, steady, control, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, really what it comes down to, along with what Joe was saying is, taking it from the classroom to the workplace, it's important to teach these students how to articulate the emotions. And kind of echoing off of what Lori was saying earlier, you know, if kids can name the emotions, whether they can self-regulate or not, the ability to start that way by articulating and naming their emotions allows the person that they're working with or telling to understand what they're going through if they're not ready to be able to handle them themselves.
We're talking about how to help kids regulate their feelings and elementary schools incorporating emotional intelligence in the classroom. Lori Jackson and Steve Peck are here. Their company makes educational technology for emotional skill building. You can join in. Parents, do you teach your kids about their emotions? What do you want to know about emotional intelligence? Be part of this hour's conversation, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about emotional intelligence, EQ, and what schools are doing in the area of social-emotional learning. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. According to Yale's Center for Emotional Intelligence, children with high EQs, they communicate more clearly, they take turns and share, focus on resolving problems, they understand other kids' feelings. Do you work in education? What unhealthy behaviors do you see at school? Would teaching students about emotions help? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Lori Jackson has a background as a school psychologist. Steve Peck's background is in special education, and they have an education technology company focused on building emotion skills. Lori, we're a few weeks into the school year now. Teachers and students, they're still kind of learning one another, feeling out each other as to, you know, those triggers and how their personalities work. Should teachers at any grade level assume their students already understand emotions?
So we would say definitely not. You know, this is the honeymoon phase a little bit of the school year. We definitely see that starting to come into October, especially in Massachusetts where we are, when school's been in session for a couple of weeks, you know, you're starting to get a handle on your class and where everybody's skills are. But we think that teachers shouldn't assume that their students know, can identify their emotions, or even can manage them. Obviously, everybody is going to be at a different level, but teachers are you know, well able to manage that because they also, you know, do that with math and with reading. So we think there is definite, you know, opportunity, and it's really important to start teaching the emotional skills right away, start teaching emotions right away, start modeling for your students some of the emotions that you feel on a daily basis, but also then connecting it to what prompted that emotion and then what behavior came from the emotion. So those are important modeling skills that teachers can do.
Steve, how strong is the relationship between your emotion and your academic achievement?
Oh, I mean, it's extremely strong, because if you think about it, if a student's struggling with an emotion, how much learning is really occurring? You know, and if we think about it as adults, when we're obsessing on something and the emotion is taking over, how many other things can we focus on other than that one specific emotion that's driving, you know, our thoughts? So if you're talking about a student who's sitting in your classroom and that emotion is playing out in his head around a specific activity or event, how much learning is really occurring? Because if they can't manage that emotion to get it under control and allow other things to come in, nothing is occurring.
Oh, because they can't move past that one thing that is really their focus right now, a particular situation or some emotions, and that is impeding on them reading whatever passage is in front of them or whatever math problem is up on the board.
Exactly. And you know, we talk a lot about executive functioning skills and things that students need, organizational skills and things. But if you really break it down, the emotion that they're struggling with, or, you know, emotions that they're struggling with around specific events or activities or classes or friends, you know, that's what's impeding anything else of getting in and letting them process that.
Lori, emotions can be tricky, though, and they can be layered on other social situations that the student is experiencing at school. Like, what if they're bullied? How do you pull apart emotions and make sure that the student is understanding really what is going on?
Well, I think you start from a very basic level. And I think that the beginning level is the emotional level. And obviously with something like bullying, that's a situation where you really need to look at, you know, the entire situation. You need to step back and sort of pull the students involved apart and really look at the emotions for each particular player in that situation. And obviously when, you know, it's a bullying situation, there's more things that are going to come into play. But I think that the way we look at behavior is that it always serves a function. It always serves a purpose. And so we need to understand what's driving that behavior. It will help us manage the bullying situations better so that we're not only helping the students who are experiencing bullying, but we're also helping the students who are the bullies, trying to understand what behavior that serves and help them in a more proactive way so that that behavior can be managed and they can start to learn to manage it themselves more productively, more appropriately. You know, that really is the source of how we would start working with a situation like that.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Lori Jackson and Steve Peck. They have a background in educational psychology and special education, respectively, and they run a company developing tools for building social emotional skills in classrooms. Parents, do you teach your kids about their emotions? How do you help them understand, and what has the response been? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Lori, can you walk us through what a lesson would be like in the classroom, looking at emotions and understanding that skill set? What might be the lesson there?
So I think if we would start at a very basic lesson, we have characters that represent different emotions, and we would introduce those characters with the specific name of the emotion, and we would have a teacher define each emotion for their students, because we know that sometimes kids can confuse one for the other or use one large grouping like sad for feeling bored or overwhelmed or something like that. So very specifically, one lesson at an early grade level would be just to really explicitly teach and define those emotions. And then as we get into really working with the emotions, we might have some sort of emotions role play where students could act out different emotions and then try to label them in each other's students. What we find is that we really need to spend time with the individual skills, specifically the emotion skill, for a number of lessons. Because one, kids learn at different levels, and two, we not only want them to understand different emotions and be able to articulate their names and explain them, but we also want them to be able to apply those skills. And I think that's the critical piece that some social and emotional learning curriculums can miss, is that very important piece of application. So it's not just, can I tell you, oh yes, sad means I'm unhappy, but can I label it and can I start to label it in myself? And so that's a really critical piece. It's not just the learning, but then the application of it.
Oh, it sounds like really internalizing these lessons and understanding how do they apply to me as a person.
Exactly. And then chances to practice. you know, when you're in the classroom. And that's one of the pieces, is how do we give kids the time? You know, the calm down area that I think Troy mentioned, I think it's
That's right, yep.
That's exactly a great opportunity to apply the skill. So if a student can say, ooh, I'm frustrated, and go off to that cool down center, that's an excellent application of that student having not only learned to identify the emotion of frustration, but then also show that application of, okay, I know I need to take a break. So that's a great, you know, way that schools can help kids not only learn it, but apply the skills.
Let's bring in Marcus now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, good morning. So when I was at UWM working my bachelor's, there was a class that everyone was required to take, the general education. It was called Body Sense. And in that class, we read a book called Seven Types of Smart, and it completely changed, like fundamentally changed the way I think about intelligence, because it really brought to light the different types between emotional, physical, scientific, mathematical, as well as a number of other ones. And I've tried to apply those lessons with my kids moving forward.
Oh, Marcus, thanks so much for the call. Seven kinds of smart, Steve. And Marcus really finding out, being able to understand his own children and where they're coming from. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think one thing that teachers need to really remember is we always make assumptions as teachers. We assume that, you know, students are sitting in our classrooms and they're ready to learn. And, you know, if they've made it this far, then there's a reason why they're here. And, you know, they're sitting in front of me, so they should be ready. We as teachers need to stop assuming. We need to understand that, yes, we will have our students in the classroom who are able to manage their emotions, but more than not, kids can't. So, you know, I think what Marcus was talking about with the seven steps, if you look at, you know, really what we're doing as teachers and applying it to our students, step one is teaching kids about their emotions and then taking it further to see how emotions drive behaviors.
We're learning about the emotional needs of kids and what schools are doing to help students connect with their feelings and, in the process, each other. Lori Jackson, Steve Peck, they stay with us. They founded an educational technology company focused on social and emotional products for teaching. Are you a teacher who incorporates emotional learning in your classroom? What's your approach? How do your students respond? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're spending the hour on kids' emotional intelligence and this ability to regulate behavior in the classroom. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for joining in. Your EQ measures your capability to recognize emotions, to label them, to use emotional information to influence your thoughts and actions. And the skills of emotional learning, they're being taught in schools. Educators, what do you think about incorporating emotional learning in the classroom? Is it a priority at your school? What is the climate like in your school around emotional intelligence? Still time for your thoughts, your questions, 800-642-1234. And Lori Jackson and Steve Peck, they have a background in school counseling and special education, and they stay with us. Lori, how do you know whether emotional learning is making a difference? How do you measure the success?
So there's, I think, a lot of different ways. I think there's a lot of interest and concern in this area, because certainly for schools have so many things on their plate. If they're going to take on a program in social and emotional learning and give it time, they're going to certainly want to see you know, growth in their students. I think there's a couple of ways. I think for teachers, it is to see students who are more available for learning, who are starting tasks a little more quickly, who are persevering and persisting on their work, you know, with a little more intensity. You'll see sort of less behavioral outbursts and students who are, you know, using different strategies and different ways to manage emotions when things are going well. You know, there are social and emotional measurement tools that are out there that, you know, teachers can use. You know, we really like for teachers to look and take sort of pre and post assessments of their students just using very simple, quick metrics just so that they can be sure that their own students are, you know, picking up the information that they're teaching them and then, you know, really using them. But, you know, the importance of seeing the behavior of your classroom, and I think teachers are experts at really understanding the pulse of their classrooms and knowing how things are running, that I do really think that they're able to see and feel the difference in their teaching.
Steve, have you found that these programs focused on emotion, are they accessible for special education students, for instance? Is this inclusive learning?
Yeah, I mean, I think with you know, like any with any subject matter, everything is adaptable down to a student's level that the student needs to be able to learn. You know, I think taking any kind of curriculum, especially now focusing now on like an SEL curriculum, and being able to find specific pieces of the curriculum that can make a difference for a special education student can go a long way for that special education student to be able to, you know, begin to understand his or her emotions, you know, and the emotions that are driving some of the behaviors.
Have you seen it make a difference in special education as you look at behavioral changes and behavioral challenges in this area?
I mean, yeah, I mean, several times with a lot of my students specifically, you know, who were struggling with behaviors early on, it was, you know, really getting down to the root of the emotions that were driving these behaviors, really tackling those emotions, giving them the language to be able to articulate, you know, what the emotion was, and then, you know, teaching them strategies, you know, to avoid those, you know, disruptive behaviors that were taking away from their learning and their classmates' learning.
Lori, what should parents be doing in this area as they look at their own emotions and what their kids are doing outside of school?
I think the first piece is what you just mentioned, is looking at your own emotions. I think at times we're all so busy that we miss the specifics and really looking at ourselves and thinking, you know, a million different emotions go through us at a time. We have so many things on our plate. So slowing down and just pinpointing the emotions in ourselves and then modeling and sort of, there's a term called co-regulation. And co-regulation means you really help your child, especially a young child, learn regulation skills. So if you're able to understand and express your own emotions and then connect to the behavior that you displayed, sharing it, discussing it, modeling it for your child is a really great first step for helping your child learn regulation. And then the second thing is helping your child articulate when you see, and really helping them choose an emotion at the time that you're seeing them display an emotion, labeling it, and that helps them begin to learn it. And so it's a process. I think that that's the most challenging piece for parents, for educators as well, is that, you know, just like learning to read and learning to do math and then higher level math is a process, and we accept that, we need to accept that same process in learning emotions and how to regulate them.
And at home, it means also parents perhaps should be looking up from their phones and looking their, you know, child in the eyes and looking for facial cues and some of the physical signs of emotion, because, you know, we're really tethered to our devices.
We are definitely tethered to our devices. you know, society is really all about the immediate and the what's happening and being so aware of everything and, you know, looking down instead of looking out. You know, and the first thing is obviously we're still going to use those. You know, we're practical when we talk to parents and when we talk to teachers. You're not going to put your phone down forever. You're not going to stop your children from watching TV or watching videos. But it's, you know, limiting it and then using the time that you have to do exactly what you say. You know, talk with your kids about emotions and being present when you are all together.
We're talking with Lori Jackson. She has a background as an educational psychologist. Steve Peck is here as well, former special education teacher. You have a line, 800-642-1234. Are you a teacher who incorporates emotional learning in your classroom? What is this like and how are students responding? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Lori, I've also noticed with my own kids that the language in classrooms has changed over the years. Classrooms being called neighborhoods, a lot of words stemming around community, and maybe less of a focus on this individual type aspirations. What do you think about the language we're hearing in classrooms these days?
I mean, I think that that's good language to use because it shows and it really projects that we're all interconnected, which we really are. I think the important piece then is to connect that interconnectedness. That's wordy, but for kids, because otherwise they might miss that big picture concept. I think that saying that we are, you know, a team, well, what does it mean to be a team? And what does it mean to be an individual on a team? And then, you know, what is that individual's responsibility with, you know, the rest of their teammates or their classmates or their community? And so I think it's true. You know, we are more connected as a society. We're also less connected as a society because maybe we don't necessarily view our individual roles as we should. So that classrooms are using those terms, I think it's terrific. But then I think we need to put the skill building behind those names if we're really going to make them significant and important.
And Steve, if emotions aren't addressed at a young age, what kind of ramifications do you see for these kids later in life?
I mean, it's just a never-ending cycle because if, you know, without being able to self-regulate, you know, kind of some, like some of the callers that have called in this hour, who have talked about, you know, even addressing it with adults, in the workplace, you know, I mean, if we're not teaching kids at a young age about their emotions and how to handle their emotions to avoid these behaviors, it will never end. You know, it's something that needs to be taught. I think schools across the country are really starting to recognize that, you know, SEL is important in the classroom, and it's important because if we don't teach it at a young age, it's not going to leave them.
Well, Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Lori, thank you as well.
Thank you so much.
Steve Peck and Lori Jackson founded an educational technology firm called The Connections Model. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.